Welcome to WGMC at 50, a historical podcast series reflecting back on the five decades that WGMC Jazz 90.1 has been on the air in Rochester. WGMC 90.1 FM signed on for the very first time on November 1st, 1973.
We now commence with our first day of broadcast.
I'm Rob Linton, station manager of Jazz 90.1, and I've spent the past few months talking with WGMCers, past and present, and those who have had a hand in getting this radio station to where it is today, again, celebrating our 50th golden anniversary.
Welcome to the first broadcast by the Monroe Educational Radio Association Network.
We'd like to thank everybody who has participated in this series so far, and we invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy an oral history of WGMC at 50. You are listening to WGMC at 50. I'm Rob Linton. Glad to be back along with you for another episode of our special Golden Anniversary podcast. And today we have an opportunity to chat with one of our current staff members and someone who's been here at this radio station for many years, Derek Lucas. Derek, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks again for inviting me and thanks for keeping me on.
Absolutely. So I'm looking at your history at this radio station, and you've been here for many years and you've done just about everything there is. So right now, you're our operations assistant, which means you do just about everything to keep the place going. You go out, you find business support, you handle all of the new music that comes in, you're doing programming, you're doing all kinds of stuff. Take us back, if you could, to when you first started here and kind of bring us to present day.
Wow. I first learned about the station back when I was like 12 years old, so like the early 1980s, and a friend of my dad, who was a huge jazz fan, said there's this jazz station out of Greece, believe it or not, that has jazz along with Red Wing games, which that's why I listened to the station, because of the Red Wing games. And I couldn't believe it. I was hearing jazz on the radio, which I thought, you know, only Will Moyle did that once a week on Saturdays at XXI.
Right.
And so I called. It was a summer day. It was a summer of 83, I want to say, 82, 83. And I called the station asking if they need any volunteers, any help.
Now, how old were you at this point?
12.
12. Okay, go on. Yes.
So, I was 12. I called the station, and I believe it was Lee Rust who picked up the phone, and we started. He was interested, and then he asked me, "So, how old are you?"
Right.
12. Pause. Silence.
Yep.
And he said, "Well, I mean, we appreciate your enthusiasm, but because of your age right now, especially because you want to work a Sunday night, you'd have to have a parent with you, and also there's hours, and there's laws against that. But if you're still interested, wait a couple years,
right?
Call back, and then we'll see what we can do. Wait a couple years, call back, and here we are, 35 years later.
So, you know, as a young person, it's certainly not kind of common to have young people interested in volunteering or doing that kind of thing. And, you know, what drove you to it? I mean, was it your love for the music, your love for radio, all of the above? Like, what was it?
Yeah. As a little boy, I would pretend, you know, some people play like firefighter, which I did, or a policeman, or baseball player, or football player. But I also used to play DJ as a little boy. Like, I have the headphones, I set up the mic, and do the back cell and front cell. I'd watch the KRP in Cincinnati and take notes.
Now, you grew up in a jazz household.
Yeah, so my parents liked the music. My dad used to take me to jazz shows because I was really just jazzed about it. I just couldn't believe the music would make me feel so amazingly happy, and I just wanted to tell everybody about it. So anytime we went to a dinner party, I'd bring a bunch of jazz records and have them play them, whether they wanted to hear it or not, because I wanted to have people hear this music. I thought, if it makes me feel this great, it's going to make you feel even better. So I would commandeer their record player or stereo system. So my parents eventually would forewarn people, if you don't want to hear jazz, it's okay. We'll just tell them, don't bring the records. But yeah.
So you were playing DJ at little house parties.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So my grandmother taught me how to cue up records as a little kid, because she would have these parties when I was a little boy, and she would, quote, babysit me. And she would show me how to cue up 45 as well as records. And then here's how you transition to get people up and dancing as a little boy. And so I always just loved the fact that music can make people dance or feel good and feel happy. So I always, and jazz made me feel like 10 feet tall as a little kid. So I thought, I got to spread this, not knowing it would lead me here.
So pretty much way back in those early days, not only did you want to be on the radio, you wanted to play jazz on the radio, but did you ever have a desire or kind of understanding at that point that you would want to make radio a career?
You know, I never thought of it, because coming at the station as a little as an early age, Lee Ross would always tell me, the person who trained me how to do this, don't make radio your career.
Right.
Do not. I mean, you can. It's fun. It's fun to play radio in terms of play your favorite music and play jazz, but don't make this a career because it's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of sacrifice. And I listened to it for a number of years. And I realized, you know what? When you get to a point in your life where does this make you happy?
Right.
Whatever. If you're going to work hard, this hard, do something that's going to make you happy.
Yep.
And I realized it's radio. It's a calling. That's why we chose this.
That's right.
Stayed in
that's
it because at the end of the day, there's nothing better than turning on the radio and hearing great music and seeing people happy about it and moved by it. And so I've been doing this my entire adult life. I had corporate jobs and banking and finance and other spots. But at the end of the day, I always had this as the fun job. And I thought, you know what? Let's make this fun job the job and see what happens.
Well, we'll get back to that in just a second. But when you talk about kind of entering into radio and making it a career, you graduated from Greece, right?
Yeah.
You went right here to Olympia.
Yeah, Greece, Olympia, right.
You went to college.
Yep. RIT.
Where'd you go to college for?
MCC and RIT for communications.
Okay. So after that, for a while now, I've been here since 2004.
Right.
And you were working another full-time gig somewhere, but you were still working here part-time, handling all the music and all that kind of stuff. So that had to have been, so you were almost able to keep your kind of foot in the pool a little bit to get your jazz fix before we brought you over into full-time, right?
Yeah. So what had happened is that I was volunteering, doing my Sunday night show, which I still have. I started back in 1988-89 on Sunday nights. And then what happened was Jason Crane encouraged me, why don't you ever thought of being the music director of the station? I'm like, what?
Right.
No, you should do this because I can't, because at that time, the station manager had to handle operations and music and sales. There were three different people doing all those things. And at that time, because of the way the station was going at the point at the time, the early 2000s, the station manager had to handle everything. It's just too much for one person to handle, especially in those days, as you know. So he thought, let me do this. He said, why don't you try the music directing part of it? I'm like, you need to know music. You need to be here all the time. So it's okay. We can make this work.
Right.
So let's just try for a little while. And then it worked, and I liked the music, and I got to meet all the label people and the musicians, and I thought, this is amazing as a part-time job.
Well, right, and then at one point, you know, along the way, we bring you on as a full-time employee. You leave the comfort of the real job,
right,
and come in and try to say, hey, can I make radio, you know, a career?
Right.
And what a lot of people listening may not know is that your hard work actually, in essence, saved this place when you came into being full-time, because you were able to go out and get the business support and all that kind of stuff. And I hate sales. I don't know how you do it.
I hate sales too. I couldn't sell water to a fish. But at the time, I just thought, okay, I've never sold anything before, ever.
Yeah.
And then I just thought, but the need, as you know, where we were at the time, we needed business support.
Sure.
For a long time, we were just, you know, managing it as a mom and pop operation and just handling it as every storm. We'd handle it and go on. But as you know, what we walked into, we had no idea.
That's right. That's right.
We had no idea. And then you told me, Derek,
how bad it was.
Yeah, we have a situation here, and we need as much help. Can you help us with sales? Remember, it was a temporary thing 15 years ago.
It was supposed to be. Well, in one of the things that's really neat, I think, from you, and I love hearing the stories, is the relationship building that you've been able to do, not only here locally within the business community and all of that kind of stuff, but within the jazz orbit, that you've been able to establish so many great relationships over the years with not only musicians, but business owners, promoters, all of those kind of folks. That has to be pretty cool for you.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. I had no idea that part of the world that life would happen with us, just because you're out there doing what you do is just play music and then connect with people with the music, and all of a sudden realizing that people do listen to us, and then people want to support us, and then just putting those worlds together. So I was always just kind of like reluctant to get involved, because I thought my job is just to play the music, go home,
right,
and be done with it. Not realizing that it's more than what we do as a station is music. We actually are a community outreach to people.
Yeah.
In terms of animals, in terms of doing the clothing drives, the food drives, the back to school drives. So people say we're more than just a station. We're really a community outreach center for people to come together. Yep. And it came to me like, you know what, we, because of what we do, we bring people together. And it's an amazing thing, but I had no idea we would do any of those things when we started this almost 20 years ago together.
And then fast forward to an opportunity for you to take over the most coveted shift for a radio station, and that's Morning Drive. And that opportunity came along for you.
Yeah, I never envisioned any of that. I just was happy as a clam. He's doing Sunday nights between 9 p.m. to midnight, maybe 1 a.m. Actually, when I started doing this, I was the first person to go wire to wire, because Lee Russ's goal was to be at least one night a week go 24 hours. And so I was the volunteer who would be willing to go from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. And then be the bridge to Julie Hall, who was the original drive time.
No, wait, how old were you at that time?
I was then 18.
So you were you still in high school when you were doing that crazy schedule?
I just finished high school.
Okay.
So that summer.
So you're starting college, but you're doing this overnight.
Right.
Yeah, as a volunteer.
As a volunteer.
Okay.
So in those days, I would get paid because I was just so geeked up about radio. I couldn't believe I was on the radio. I learned how to do the Red Wing games and produce the school board meetings and produce Amherst games. We would get paid for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that got my foot in the door, just learning whatever I could learn. What the idea thing, I can just do an all-night show, and it'd be a lot of fun, just like in the days of Harry Abraham and Bill Artis. I could have that legacy, continue that legacy. And then that came to a screeching halt because during finals week of my freshman year of college, I was studying, doing the all-night show, and I fell asleep on the radio.
Well, we've all been there. We've been there.
Live over the air, which I thought ended my career, because what had happened, I put out a record, actual vinyl record. It was Bitches Brew. I'll still forget it. It's a 26-minute piece, but I fell asleep in the middle of it, not knowing, obviously, studying for finals. And then people were listening to the show, call my parents at around 3:30 in the morning.
And you hear on the air the
yep. So people were calling my parents, and then somebody called the police.
Oh,
and I had no idea. So I wake up. Someone calls Lee Rust. I think my parents call Lee Rust, or somebody called Lee Rust.
To get into the
studio.
Yeah.
So I wake up to my parents, Lee Rust, and me.
And you passed out sleeping.
I thought it was my last night, but they kept me on. They said, well, let's just do overnights when you're not in school.
Yeah.
That was always a lot of fun. But back to the drive time. So I always liked that shift because that was my shift. That was my vibe. And then eventually we moved to middays just because of just where we were. We needed staffing. I had no intention of ever doing drive time because I thought drive time is for people who did commercial radio,
right?
Like Joelle or Julie Hall or Jack Mindy. They did drive time. And that was their thing. They enjoyed it. I never envisioned ever doing drive time, AM drive especially, but just because of the opportunity and where we are. And I thought, okay, I can give it a shot and see what happens. I had no idea who it turned into this.
And how you enjoying it?
I like it. I like it. I mean, it's a new vibe because I'm an overnight guy. I'm a late night guy.
Yeah.
So I had to adjust sleep patterns and not have to stay out all night long anymore. And I had to learn to be a normal person.
You can't. Can you still stay out all night long?
I can do 2 days. I can do 2-3 days in a row. But in the old days of me doing wire to wire and going up fresh as a daisy, now those days are done.
So you've had an interesting perspective in that you've been here a very long time. And you literally have seen this place evolve over the years, grow over the years, almost bankrupt over the years.
A couple times, yeah.
Well, yeah. What's that been like for you to kind of see the place evolve?
You know, you don't realize it until you look back and you see all the photos.
Right.
You don't realize all the changes that have happened to us because it's been small incremental changes, but they've been huge changes that's just happened over time. And just the fact that I literally came in, we used to have turntables and CD players, and we're just transitioned to CDs when I first started the station. And then we were a contemporary smooth station at the time, and then we transitioned to straight ahead classic jazz, and now we're doing a mix of both. It's just been amazing just in terms of what has happened over the last 35 years, because nobody expected this to stay, be here still, including us. We thought, because when you started, we thought, okay, he's great. It's going to be a nice little burst of energy, and then he'll move on to a big boy job, we thought. So we never thought it
didn't work.
We thought he'll give it 3 to 3 years tops, and he'll move on to a top 40 gig. And I thought I would never be in radio this long because I just thought I'd work a corporate job or just do here, get my radio fix out of me, and then I'll move on to something else. But here we are, and I think now we are a worldwide leader of this music.
Mm-hmm. Because there's not many of us left.
There's not many of us left, and we're so passionate about this music. And also we've been able to change with the times. Unlike most radio stations, commercial or non-commercial, we've been able to evolve with the times. So again, we were one of the first stations to go to use streaming, to use the internet.
Yeah.
We're one of the first stations to use social media. Mm-hmm. And we're one of the few stations still that uses really everything we have in using young people, because I was a young person once upon a time, and we always wanted to make sure we can build a bridge to the next generation of folks to get into this music. I think that's what's kept us here, because we're always thinking ahead.
Now, are you going to be somebody who's ever going to be able to totally retire from radio?
No, no.
Yeah.
I envision myself being like Dick Clark.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, as long as nobody brings Ryan Seacrest in, we'll be okay. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, that's a whole other podcast. Well, it's great, Derek. And you know, one of the things that's been a lot of fun over the past couple of months is seeing the photos, looking back into the history, and seeing everything that you've done for this place. And we're grateful. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks again. It's an amazing thing that we've been able to be on the radio, be able to stay a jazz station for this long. And I believe now we might be one of the longest running jazz stations in the world at 50.
Yeah.
And it's just something I never thought. Nobody ever thought this would happen when this started back 50 years ago. And I've been here 35 of the 50 years. And I'm just amazed every single day that when I can turn on the radio or go online, and now we just joined the iHeart universe.
Yep. Yep.
People can hear jazz anytime they want. And I never thought this could ever happen. But we have made it happen because of listeners supporting the music, and people are passionate about this music and passionate about us and radio. Radio will never go away. It will never, ever go away.
And you're not very good at talking about yourself. No, it's so funny because I'm trying to, like, we're getting your story, and then you go into print, and this just goes to show how you're fit and we're meant for an opportunity like this, because you know, promoting and advocating for the music and becoming somebody who is really carrying the torch for the music. And we used to think that it was only kind of in our own little bubble here.
Yeah.
And you know, you and I have this conversation quite often that we tend to not think how big the audience truly is.
I don't realize until we leave Rochester and then we go other places, and all of a sudden people know us in Houston, I mean Austin, Texas at South by Southwest, or the Newport Jazz Festival, or in Detroit Jazz Festival, or New York. People know who we are. I mean they know our personalities. I'm like, wow. People know who we are. This is for real. And so, I mean, the benefit for me, I love what I do because I get to turn on the radio, and I get, as it was a little boy, this amazing surge of energy and joy. I have to share it with everybody, as many people as possible. So again, anytime I can turn on the radio and just talk about how much this music means to me, and I get to play it, I just can't get enough of it. As I did as a little kid, and still as an old man, I still get that burst of energy every time I play radio.
Do you ever reflect back to that little boy playing radio?
I guess I'm still that little boy playing radio.
So yeah. But do you ever think back to, you know, kind of remembering the playing radio station
stuff? Sure. And I look at the old pictures. I'll go through, because my parents always took pictures of everything we did, being Kodak kids and Kodak parents. So it's just like they always captured every single moment, and I look back and I'm like, I'm glad they did, because then we're like, do you have to take a picture of everything we do? Now I'm glad they did, because now we have that stuff to use for for material.
I'm gonna need some of those pictures, by the way.
Yeah. So it's fun to be able to be part of the station, watching the growth, not even realizing how much we've grown over the years, just because things happened so quickly but yet so slowly, that we've been able to stay alive just because of, one, faith, two, insanity.
The thing that I've learned in life, and I think it applies to here, the days and weeks go by slow, the months and years will fly by.
Yeah,
they have. And I think that,
it happens in the last 20 years, I call it the jazz kids, we started working with kids, students from Eastman School of Music, Seton Hall, Fredonia, University of Miami. All these, I call them jazz kids, because these kids are so amazingly talented and they want to help us out. And because of what they've done, they've taken us into a whole other orbit. So people like Alexa Tarantino, Mike Catone.
Mike Catone.
Sorry, so Mike. Others. They've all been so amazingly talented, but they shared their talents with us to help us continue to promote this music. So I'm always indebted to them, because, I mean, they've really helped us continue to be on the forefront and the vanguard of this music. And people are always amazed by us in terms of what we do. And it's because of constant support for this music and people who love this music. And I always want to make sure that it's all about, like a library or museum, as long as you know where to find it, find the access point for it, you're good.
That's right. All right, Derek, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us for this. And you'll be with us another 50 years.
I hope so.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Derek.
All right.
Thank you for checking out this episode as part of WGMC at 50, the podcast series celebrating five decades of Jazz 90.1 WGMC. Be sure to check back often as we plan to upload new episodes every week or two, celebrating those folks who have come through our doors, making this great radio station what it is today. Also, don't forget to check out our website. Our 50th anniversary page is loaded full of historical pictures, articles, audio, video, and so much more. This is Jazz 90.1 WGMC station manager Rob Linton. Thank you again so much for tuning in.